Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.
Welcome again here in Circles of Change. Sunny day, Saturday in Arizona, and I welcome Carol Swinney from Wyoming. How are you today, Carol?
I'm fine, thank you. It's great to be here.
You bet. Back in town, just like our previous guests, you have two bases, right, in Wyoming and
yes.
Here in the state of Arizona. We're happy to have you. Carol Swinney is a painter with a palette knife, interestingly enough, instead of a brush. It's an unusual technique that offers texture and amazing depth to rich colors. It's almost like sculpting a painting. Carol prefers to paint, by the way, and dramatic works on location. It's an artistic discipline called plein air painting. From Colorado's Rocky Mountain National Park to Wyoming's Grand Tetons and, of course, the mountain ranges near Tucson, Arizona. The well-traveled artist has done solo and group exhibitions, and Carol has received numerous awards and honors. In fact, over 20 major awards in just the last 6 years, including Best in Show, People's Choice, Best Landscape at a National Level, and Governor's Choice Award. Her paintings and philosophy and teachings on art have been featured in books, spotlighted articles, and even on the cover of quite a stack of magazines, some of the real granddaddies of art media, I might mention. Art of the West, Sky West Magazine, American Artist, Wildlife Art News, Western Art Collector, Southwest Art Magazine, and the Art of the West. Currently represented in galleries in Jackson, Wyoming, Santa Fe, Wimberley, and Dallas, Texas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. You can visit Carol's site, which is carolswinney.com. It's an experience in itself, bringing what I'll say the outside inside. And when not in her studio or on the road, Carol also breeds corgi dogs. So a very active life. Again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, now, your art has taken a variety of circles and ebbs and flows and changes over time. You know, how did you get into actually shifting to using a palette knife?
Well, that was really by chance. I had been following several artists because I wanted to be a cowboy Western artist, since my background is from a big cattle ranch in Wyoming in Casper, where I have a home. And he was an artist that had a home in Scottsdale and one in Jackson Hole. And I happened to see his work at a gallery in Casper and asked the gallery owner about him, and she gave me his number. I went up to Jackson, and he said he'd love to mentor me and paint with me.
And who was the artist?
That was about 30 years ago.
30.
His name is Bill Freeman.
Okay.
And he's still active. He's in his mid-80s and doesn't really paint much anymore, but a big influence in my life. And when I started painting in our first lesson, he sat me down and he started said, "Watch what I'm doing." And he started painting it all with a knife. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?" Because I thought he was a brush artist. I really hadn't recognized that
he's
a knife work. Yeah. So I say I'm a palette knife artist by accident, because I just took to it, though. He said, "Copy one of my paintings," and I did, and I took right to it and started from there, and kind of combined brush with palette knife to start with, and was still doing some wildlife paintings, and they were in brush, and all the landscape was in palette knife.
Well, you said you took to it so easily, so tell me something. Were you a sculptor earlier in your life? Did you like playing with Play-Doh? Did you sandcastles? I mean, what would bring that out?
I don't know, because I wasn't a sculptor. I had done a couple of things in college. I majored in art at the University of Wyoming, and I kind of enjoyed that, but I never wanted to do that. I was always determined, since I was a little girl, to be a fine artist and paint. And I wanted to do landscapes, and I decided I wanted to do wildlife, and then eventually, because of my love of palette knife and the textural aspect of it, I decided to go into it full time, and I left the animals behind, really, and decided to just do landscapes, because it so lended itself to nature. All the rocks and the cliffs and the foliage, it was just perfect for how
and the dimensionality of it.
The dimensionality, yeah, because you approach it differently. You have to approach it by painting the background, the furthest back, like the sky, and then you move from the distant mountains, and you just keep layering upon layer, and that's what it gets that great depth. is from layering and getting all that texture on there. And
it actually is more than visual depth. It's actual depth, right? Because
it's
of the texture.
Yeah, it's actual depth. Yeah.
So you weren't the kid that did paint by numbers then?
I did do some paint by numbers, yes. I think I was doing anything I could that was art, drawing, painting, everything. My mom got me into lessons. She got me into some workshops, and she was a good artist herself, and my grandmother was also. So I kind of inherited artistic ability through my mother's side.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, she encouraged it. Everybody in my family encouraged my artistic abilities.
Tell us about, because many of our listeners may not be familiar with that term, plein air.
Plein air is French, basically for open air, and it painting from life. And I had never painted from life until I started painting with Bill Freeman, and I also painted with one other gentleman. His name was Greg McCuron from Jackson Hole, and both of them were plein air painters. They went out and they painted from life every time. And then we took the paintings back, and then we looked at them in the studio and decided, how am I going to make this a better painting? And that's how you learn to see. You learn to compose. You learn what needs to be edited out, what needs to be added back in, what needs to be moved around. But one of the advantages of plein air and being painting from life is you can look at the mountain and the foreground, and you might want to add this tree, move it over here, take out that power line. It's great to have that ability, artistic ability, to change things, and you have it all right there in front of you. You're not in the studio trying to work from a bunch of different photographs.
And actually, I'm under the impression that a lot of plein air painters actually do it in a sense of community. So they go with groups of people, so they can self, critique.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I would say 90% of my plein air painting is done in groups with groups of artists. And I
don't know, why is that compared to others?
It's because
it's more social.
Yeah, I think so, because being an artist is sort of a solitary career. And I think if you are social at all, and I'm a very social person, you crave that camaraderie with the other artists and going out and painting on location, and then you can also help each other, and you have great stories to tell, and you can talk while you're painting, and it just makes it a great event. In fact, that's why there's such a wave of plein air competitions and events and what they call paint outs in the United States from one coast to the next, because artists like to get together and they like to paint together and they
paint
like
outs,
to
I'd
look
like
at
that.
Each other's paintings of what they accomplished in the same place.
See, many of us who might be outside the art circle would think that would get a little touchy, the critique aspect of it, but here you frame it up as it's so quintessential for the learning process.
Oh, absolutely. When we're getting ready to pick out our best three paintings to put in the show at the end of a competition, we're all saying, would you come over and help me pick out my best three? I like these, but I need the eye of another artist. And sometimes there's several of us, so we'll get together and I'll give our opinion on the best three out of six paintings or something that artist wants to put in.
There's always a lot of conversation about what is art. How do you define art? And then, is it about living within boundaries or going outside of boundaries? Is it about really authentically portraying what you see in your in front of you, or, like you say, edit out the stuff you didn't like? Isn't one of the challenges of the plein air is to decide, what are you actually going to put in the frame? You don't have the box like the photographer necessarily.
That's true, although a lot of plein air artists, including myself, have a little tool that kind of blocks things out, and we kind of look through it, and you can measure it to the size of a canvas you might have with you.
Oh, literally, you have a frame.
Yeah, we literally have a little frame. Some artists make several sizes, and some of us have one. There's two or three companies that actually make these little gadgets, and you just use those, and you kind of look through them, put them up close to your eye, and you can actually edit out some things and find something that interests you, and then you put it away once you start your painting, and then you start grabbing things from other areas and editing this and that. But it does kind of help you just find your composition. You find something that excites you with the good lights and darks and things.
Carol, what did it feel like particularly most recently, the flood of opportunities to be featured in all these prominent magazines?
Well, it's been real exciting the last 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. I started full-time about 15 years ago, and that's when it wasn't really until then that a lot of things started happening in my career. Because an artist goes through a lot of transitions, but they have to dedicate themselves so completely that they basically, you've heard the expression, eat and sleep and live and drink and your career. And once you do get in that far into it, then finally things start happening and they start coming to you. Because you're making the effort, you're sending out press releases, you're networking, you're going to shows, you're talking to people, you're talking to magazine people. There's a lot of aspects to making it all work for you, and an artist has to be able to be social and talk to these important people and other artists that might help their career. It really is important, or you won't get your name out there. I've spent a lot of money on advertising. That's an important thing, to get your name out there. There's, you know, we could have a whole nother session here
on the business of art
and the marketing, because a lot of artists don't want to do that, and they're lucky enough to maybe have a husband or a wife or an agent that will do that for them. I have always done absolutely all of it myself. Thank God I have good photographers that can help me with it also a little bit, because they help me enter shows. And I have a great one here in Tucson, Jack Kulowick, who just helped me enter some shows yesterday, even though it was very frustrating to go through their processes. Without him, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, we've had the pleasure of Jack coming on the show. He's told us his own story of his mother allowing him or encouraging him to take art lessons in downtown Chicago, and one thing leads to another. And just like, you know, your acknowledgement of your own family roots.
Absolutely.
Well, the whole world of art, though, Carol, is changing dramatically. Mm-hmm. I mean, some would say that the gallery model just doesn't work anymore and that you've got to be on the Internet. Now, I know you have such a fabulous site. And for our listeners, again, it's Carol Swinney. SWINNEY.com. But, you know, I don't see a PayPal button to click on your site yet, perhaps.
No. Actually, a lot of artists are selling more and more off their sites, and it might be a wave of the future. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to something that's expensive like art and it's very visual, it's really hard to get the feel of a painting by looking at the image on a monitor screen. That's why the galleries still have a very big presence and a place in the art world.
Well, I would think particularly for you that this plein air painting and palette as well is this idea, like you said, sculpted strokes that you're you're looking at a 2D screen, but you really have got a painting that
for me, it's
some elements of 3D.
So I made a decision quite a while ago not to really sell off my website. I mean, there is that occasional sale, but basically the examples on my website say see the galleries for paintings for sale, because I want them to go and experience my art and see the texture and the sculpture and the depth in person. And so either at shows or at the galleries, that is how I market my work and sell my work, is through that.
Wonderful. You said that you know, you discovered the palette knife, or it discovered you, and you haven't turned back. So so really, you don't paint with a brush?
I don't paint with a brush at all anymore. I might after a painting has been completely dry, and I think, well, you know, that sky needs to be a little bluer at the top, because I start with a white canvas and I start with my sky. I have a tendency to paint. I'm comparing it against a white canvas, and so after I get the whole painting in, then all of a sudden my sky becomes lighter because it's not against white, it's against the dark now. So sometimes I'll have to go back in and glaze. It's called a glazing method. It's a medium that you use that you tint, and then you can go right on top of what you had and kind of tint the color. So and there are occasions when I might use the brush for something like a tinting.
Right. Of course, Tucsonans know of Ted DeGrazia's work, because he was a palette knife artist. In fact, the legends about him in Tucson of even how he came about his paints from the wild berries and the natural substances he could own. Is palette painting that prevalent?
No.
I mean, is there a tighter, fairly limited community of it?
Actually, there is a very limited community of it.
And it's I'm sure it's not taught at art schools yet, or is it yet?
Yeah, I think that there are. I don't know if they teach it. They don't have teach it just purely, hey, to teach somebody to become a palette knife purist like I am. They would teach the technique so that the artist could use it as a tool with the brush and with anything else that they might be using. But in Europe, it's more accepted, more prevalent. You'll find an immense amount of artists in Europe that are good with a palette knife. They really do a wonderful job. You won't find as many purists in this country that are well known or that are accepted. And there's still some prejudices against palette knife amongst museums or gallery directors because they have not seen enough really quality palette knife work. It can also be called a painting knife, it's either way, palette knife, painting knife, either one, but I think the real technical term is painting knives.
It's just interesting, your comment. You almost had a eureka moment then when you picked up that, and you didn't even realize this artist you were going to be taught by.
No, yeah, it was like a eureka.
Right.
It took a little while to really get super good at it. I mean, it took years actually to be to the point that I am now, but I've been actually painting with a knife now for 30 years, but full-time for about 15 years. Yeah.
The fact that you head the high road and paint in the mountains and in Wyoming, Colorado, other places, some fun stories to tell us about that. You know, people you've encountered, and I know you're also an equestrian, so is it, you know, do you have a special saddlebag that, right, with
actually,
your painting?
Actually, I've never combined the horse thing with the painting thing. When I leave the horseback trips to be completely getting away from the art and relax with my horse friends. I have combined some dog show trips, though, with painting, plein air painting, you know, gone off by myself. I don't do that as much anymore, but I used to do that quite a bit.
So, favorite nooks and crannies here in Tucson that you enjoy going to?
Well, I love both the Oro Valley side of the Catalina Mountains and the front side, and I love the Tucson Mountains a lot. I think there's some amazing things there in the mornings in the Tucson Mountains.
I was going to ask you that. So is it certain types of day that evoke the pictures for you?
Yes, the early mornings and the later afternoon, early evenings are obviously the longest shadows, the most intense, deep colors, and I consider myself a colorist. I use a lot of color in my work, and most artists like to paint in those times.
And do you ever take a quick snapshot photograph?
Oh,
because
yes.
If the sunset's going down, you've only got a narrow window to grab it.
I oftentimes do when I'm plein air painting, and then I use that later on to kind of pull it all together in the studio and maybe make a few changes, and it'll remind me how something looked or how a rock was, or I might want to add a certain tree to my work.
Now, the fact that you've focused from landscapes, and you used to do wildlife, but not so much now, is it because they won't stand still for you? Or
it was because I was so involved in the knife and the knife technique, I didn't want to take the time to leave out a white space and carefully draw the animal in. I love the whole process of knife work and the quickness of it and the excitement that I was feeling. I didn't want to stop and have to take the time to figure out painting an animal with a brush. And that was more of any of the reason. I love painting wildlife. I still actually do, even though I don't paint it. I think it's a fabulous subject matter, along with Western art, is wonderful also.
Yeah, that's lovely. And so your scenery, like you say, it's predominantly Western art that you've done, but have you taken the trips back east?
I haven't painted back east. I did paint in Scotland a couple of times, and that was a wonderful experience. But basically, I've painted a lot on the coast. I used to be represented out in Carmel, California for about 11 years, so I did a lot of coastal scenes during that period, but I don't do them
nice
now
marker, yeah.
Unless I happen to travel out there for a reason. But it's pretty much Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. I would say the four states that I pretty much painting, and some Texas. Some in Texas because I have a couple of galleries
and
there.
Now you currently live on the ranch that you grew up in?
Ranch that's born and raised there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And tell us about that. How has that ranch changed over time? Or you're coming, being gone and then coming back to it. That whole process.
Well, I love that. I think I have the best of both worlds because I live on a ranch that's just outside of Casper, Wyoming, and it just has the most gorgeous view of Casper Mountain. And a lot of sentimental reasons that I'm there because my grandfather and my mom and my dad and the ranch hands all helped build this ranch house back in the late 40s, and I've actually kept it original. I've done a little work on one bathroom, but if you went into my house, it's the same as if you'd have gone into it when it was built in the late 40s.
All original. All original.
It's just amazing. That's how well my grandfather built it. He was a builder. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot to me.
How did the corgis fit into your life?
My mom started raising them when I was 3 years old, and I've always had a corgi. I've never been without one, and it's my hobby. It's a passion that I have in my life because I love the breed so much. In fact, I have 8 dog shows here in Tucson coming up.
My goodness.
I saved a puppy from one of my last litters last spring, and she's 6.5 months old, and she's going to be entered in 8 dog shows coming up in November here in Tucson.
Well, that's great. And individuals should know that Carol and her dogs and if I recall, other family members were...
Well, my mother was the one, and she actually has the record in the United States for the most champions spread and most probably the most obedience, rally, agility titles, and so it's pretty impressive. Can't quite follow her records because she raised corgis in a big way, and yeah, I just have 4 of them.
Well, but you're still continuing the family line, both your grandfather's legacy mm-hmm. for the ranch, your mom with the dogs, and, you know, mm-hmm. now the kind of work. Tell me, you had such an influence for your 2 mentors if you had the opportunity to teach others the palate process.
Well, you know, nobody's come up to me and said, I really want to learn just to be a palate knife artist. I have had people ask if I would teach them, but I don't do workshops anymore. I quit doing them about 6 years ago because there's just not enough artists that have had enough experience with knife, and it was so hard for them that I ended up painting most of the paintings for them. And it was really, really very tiring after a while doing that. And so I decided I didn't need to teach for financial reasons, and I would rather just create my own work. And so
but I know you contribute. You know that you also contribute to a book, though, and articles about how did you paint that.
I do.
So you are sharing your wisdom in many ways.
I do, and I love to demonstrate. So I'm always open for demonstrations.
That's right. Well, Carol Swinney, thanks so much for joining us here on Circles of Change. Again, our listeners, you can learn about Carol's work. See it, actually, carolswinney.com. Also, perhaps encounter her at 8 different dog shows here around town. But also, we have an event coming up at the Mountain Oyster Club. The Friends of Western Art is hosting a special evening that Carol's going to be the featured speaker, facilitated by yours truly, indeed, November 1st, a coffee and dessert that starts at 6:30.
And I want to mention that I will have examples of my wildlife paintings and one of my Western paintings and some transition paintings at this event.
Get to show that transition for you. Well, terrific. Well, thanks for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great fun.
You've been a pleasure.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.